I'd like you to turn, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, for a final wrap-up of this particular chapter. I'm going to finish the chapter out this morning. I'd like to start in verse 19 of Ephesians, chapter 6. The next few weeks, Eddie's going to be speaking. I'm going to take a little break. I'll be here, but Eddie will be speaking. But I kind of want to wrap up this book of Ephesians, especially chapter 6. If I were to title this morning, I would title it, "Here is My Heart." And I think what we see in these last few verses of the book of Ephesians is I think we really get a glimpse at the heart of the Apostle Paul. Now, we have, for the last 3 weeks, spent an extended period of time on verses 10 through 18, the armor of God. And I think when you read those words taken from the Apostle Paul, I think you see a glimpse of his heart, because he knew how important it is for believers to be equipped to do the spiritual battle that we all have to do. Amen? So you see a warrior's heart in Paul. But I think you also get to see a little bit further into the heart of Paul as we move to the final verses of this chapter. Frankly, the Apostle Paul, I think, has got a bad rap at times, especially when you read his words in the book of Corinthians. Many people have read those and feel like he is heartless and really demeaning and all of that, which I don't believe that myself. I believe he was dealing with some local situations that had to be dealt with, and a few of the things that he said there had real direct implication to that local group in Corinth. And then there's other incidents, like in the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul gets pretty frustrated with a young man named John Mark. Now, we wouldn't know about that because we've never been frustrated, right? Well, I think Paul has received undue criticism because of how he handled that. And yet, at the end of Paul's life, he says, "Please have John Mark come back. I need him." And so Paul, we see a heart willing to forgive. And you know, when we talk about looking at a person's heart, I don't believe it's possible. At least for me, it's not possible. I don't want to say for everyone, but for me, I don't believe it's possible to really see the heart of a person at first glance, or just when we hear them make a comment. I think to really see a person's heart, you have to look at the aggregate of their life and the experiences we've had with them over time. Now, I don't doubt that there are people with pretty wicked hearts. We know that. The Bible tells us that. But even sometimes people that have that exterior, that veneer of rudeness or darkness or whatever, when you really get down to looking at their heart of hearts, I think you may see something different. Frankly, there are people, their heart really needs Jesus' touch to make it what it ought to be. Amen? We talk about, "Touch my heart, O God. Cleanse my heart, O God." But I think we make a mistake if we judge someone very quickly and say, "Well, this is a bad person because they said this." I think that's true of people in the church, that we don't take the time to get to know them. I think it's true with our neighbors, with our community, that clerk standing behind the counter that may have treated you bad. I know I used to have very little tolerance for a rude clerk, because Cheryl and I were raised up that the customer's always right. We were in the service industry, and you bend over backwards to help the customer. You treat them right no matter how you're treated. And yet sometimes I go into a store and I used to think, "I'm never coming back to this store again because how that clerk treated me." And yet I've learned that clerk, you probably don't see the blood trail from their car to the cash register of what they have dealt with before they got there. And granted, they shouldn't have spoke to you that way, but if you look at their heart of hearts, a hurting dog bites. And so we need to be very careful that we aren't judging people and saying, well, I know what their heart is like because they said this to me. Well, I think you got to look at it overall. And that's true with the Apostle Paul. I think you have to take all of his writings together to really get a picture. But I think in these last verses of the book of Ephesians, we really see the heart of Paul. I think we really do. And it's a good lesson for us. Now, I don't know how many of you, the movie is older now, but I don't know how many of you had to watch it because you had kids or grandkids. But if you remember the movie Shrek, a classic in Hollywood films. What we learned in Shrek is that ogres have feelings too, right? And we got to see a piece of Shrek's heart. And if you remember, there's a scene there where Shrek is talking to Donkey. And Donkey's trying to understand Shrek. And Shrek is trying to explain it. And he starts talking to him and he says, feelings. You know, ogres have feelings. And finally Shrek says to Donkey, he says, Donkey, because Donkey's not getting it. And Shrek says, it's like onions. And Donkey says, you mean you make people cry like an onion? No, it's layers. And I think that's true with people's hearts. There are layers. And if you get through the layers of the hurts, the disappointments, the discouragements, the failures, the misgivings, you get down to the heart of hearts, that's when you can really see the true heart of a person. And I think Shrek's message to Donkey is the message that we see with Paul. You have to get through the layers, and what you discover is a man who was passionate and a man who really loved God and wanted that for the Ephesian people as well. And so, God help us not to make the mistake of judging people too quickly. And I think that goes for people within our body of believers, our neighbors, our community. I think it even goes to our politicians and our, you know, Hollywood and all of that. We can just judge them so quickly by what they say and all of that. And maybe at the end of the day, they end up being rude, crude, and totally bad. But let's not judge them so quickly. Let's try to look deeper if we can. But especially to those who are close to us, especially our families and our children, our grandchildren, and our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Everybody has a bad day once in a while, right? Well, most everybody has a bad day. Maybe there's some of you that have never had one, and, you know, I say thank God for that. But everyone has a bad day. And sometimes that bad day ends up being on a Sunday. And maybe you've come to church and you haven't been the epitome of what a Christian ought to be. Maybe you've said things, and I just want you to know you shouldn't judge that person by that. But gauge it by what you see in their life over the long haul. Because I think that's what really reveals the heart. Does that make sense to anybody here today? All right. If it doesn't make any sense, it won't get any better as we go along. But I think that's what happens with Paul. Is we, in these last verses, I think there's volumes of things that we can see about him that it's important that we see. And as I said, for the last 3 weeks, we've spent extended time on the armor of God. And then we touched on verses 19 and 20 last week briefly. I want to go there for a moment. We'll start there. Verse 19, pray for me. That's the implication of the scripture. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In those words, we see the heart of an apostle who is passionate about prayer and how important prayer is. Paul is opening his heart up, and when he says, pray for me, He doesn't say, pray for me that I can be released from prison. He doesn't say, pray for me that I can have favor with the Caesar. He says, he doesn't say, pray for me that I can somehow escape what I'm about to go through. He doesn't say that. What he says is, pray for me that I may be bold in my utterance to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a mystery to so many people. He's in Rome when he writes those words. He says, pray for me that I may speak boldly. And he says that a couple of different times. He says, I am an ambassador in chains. The chains he could do nothing about. Literally, he was chained, but spiritually, he was chained to the gospel as well. He was a servant of the gospel. But he said, even as I'm in chains, I'm an ambassador. An ambassador is someone who represents a country. All of our ambassadors of the United States go to a foreign country, and they need to represent our nation right and correctly. Amen? They reflect what others think of the United States. And we've had some wonderful ambassadors, and we've had, frankly, some people that were ambassadors that I think should never have been sent to another country. They gave us such a bad name. But Paul the Apostle said, I am an ambassador in chains for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I represent the kingdom of God, and I want you to pray for me, because prayer is important. Pray for me that I may speak boldly, that I won't be ashamed of the gospel, that I won't be embarrassed by my condition, that I won't be afraid to tell people how important it is to know the mystery of the gospel. And what is the mystery of the gospel? It's very simple, that since the foundation of the world, the Bible says in Revelation, the Lamb of God was slain. It was God's plan all along for men and women to know Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen. And Paul is helping unveil that mystery and saying, now salvation is for everybody. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Gentiles. It's for Jew and Gentile. It is for whosoever will may come. And that's what Paul says, I want you to pray for me that I will have boldness to proclaim that. How many know all of us ought to be as bold as possible to proclaim the gospel of Jesus? Amen. To share our story with others as the opportunity presents itself. So in these two verses, we see a part of the heart of Paul. He was a man of prayer. He believed in prayer, he practiced prayer, and he believed others were people of prayer as well. And so he said, please pray for me that I might be a good ambassador, that I would be bold in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in verses 21 through 24, I think he really opens it up. I think we peel away the final layer and are able to see this Apostle Paul in a light that I think will be an encouragement to us. But verse 21, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your heart. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Paul says, finally, in this book of Ephesians, I'm going to send to you a man who is these things, Tychicus. Now, Tychicus we don't talk about a lot, but he was a pretty remarkable fellow. And I believe that Paul, as he's saying, I'm going to send him to you that you may know how I'm doing. And so what did Tychicus say to the Ephesians when he went back and gave the report of the Apostle Paul? I don't know, you don't know, it's not given to us in Scripture. What did he say? Did he go back to the Ephesians and says, I'm going to bring you the report of the Apostle Paul. He is in Rome. He's doing fine. He's leading a tour group. He has personal bodyguards. He's going around to all the visitor centers, and he's living in his own hired house. He's doing great. Don't worry about him. Do you think Tychicus gave that report of Paul? I don't think so, because that wasn't the truth. The truth was that Paul was in really horrible conditions. Paul is sitting, even if it's his own hired house, or as many believe later when he's in the dungeon, he has no sanitation. He's chained to two Praetorian guards. He doesn't have any freedom. He's squalor. And when Tychicus goes back to the Ephesians, I think Tychicus says, pray for Paul, because he is in a pretty rough state. It's been a pretty rough state. Things are hard for him. He's probably losing weight. He doesn't have the best sanitary conditions. He's constantly chained to guards. He has no privacy of his own. And he doesn't know day to day whether he will be beheaded or not be beheaded. That's the report. But Tychicus, I think, went on to say, but I'm happy to report to you that Paul's spirit is high. He's excited about the possibility of preaching the gospel to whoever he can. He is not discouraged. He believes he's fulfilling the will of God in his life. He just wants you to pray for him, not that he would be released, not that he would have freedom, not that he would have the comforts of home, but rather that he would be brave enough and bold enough to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ right there where he is. That's the report that Tychicus gave, because he was faithful to give the true report. And in that we see the heart of Paul. We judge people from the outside. The Bible tells us we are to judge righteous judgment. That means right judgment. I hear people say Christians aren't supposed to judge, but we are supposed to judge. The scripture is plain. But we are to judge righteously. Amen? The word righteously means right. And you cannot judge someone righteously by just glancing, because we don't know their heart. We don't know what's going on. Years ago, when I was a young person in the Coos Bay North Bend area, no one here would know anything about the individual I'm talking about, frankly. There was a person in North Bend who would travel the streets pushing a cart. A shopping cart, all kinds of stuff in it. We see that often now. He was very, his beard was really, you know, matted, and his hair was untaken care of, and he smelled, the clothes were torn, and he would walk the streets, and everyone began to spread the rumor. They didn't know this, that he did it, but they spread the rumor. Whenever he goes into your store, and I worked in a department store near there, watch your merchandise, be careful, because he's got some pretty valuable stuff in that cart, so we know he stole it. And so everyone was on alert. Everybody judged him based on what they saw. Now, that might have been the case, and that's probably the case in many situations we see today. But we make a mistake if we make that judgment just by what we see. So a young man in our city that I knew, he decided he was going to get to the bottom of the story. This man had built himself a house out of cardboard and tin out in the woods near where I worked. And everybody was afraid to go near there because the rumor had it he was crazy. And you know how things like that goes. He has guns and knives and you know, all the stories. Without anybody knowing, this young man went to visit him one day in his little makeshift hut. As he went in, he introduced himself, and he just sat down, and he just started talking to him. This man at first was very hesitant to say anything, and finally, he would come back. This young man would come back, and he would bring him donuts. He would bring him a hamburger. He would, you know, slowly bring him things. And finally, this man trusted him enough to begin to open up his heart, and layers begin to peel away. And I don't know how I don't know the whole story, but this is what I was told, that this man had experienced an incredible tragedy in his life. He had lost wife, children, in a horrible accident, and had totally turned away from society, just wanted to be left alone. This young man went on to say, you know, can I help you in some way? Can I give you a shave? So the fellow said, oh, that would be great. So he took a razor and he began to shave this scraggly old beard. And he looked at his hair and he says, I'm not a barber, but I have scissors. Can I cut your hair? And the guy said, well, it can't be any worse than it is now. So he took the clippers and he gave him a haircut as best he could. He brought him some clean clothes, brought him some, you know, water to wash him. He befriended this man. And what he discovered in his heart of hearts is that this man had been hurt so deeply, his heart crushed so and broken so badly, he blamed everybody for it. Come to find out, this man was extremely wealthy. And all the valuable things he had in his basket, he did not steal, but he bought. He purchased. He just didn't like people, because somehow people had let him down. But eventually this man came out of his shell, as it were, and became a productive member of the community. Because someone took the time to pull back the onion layers and see the real story. We do an injustice to people when we judge them by their appearance. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to do what this young man did, because frankly, there are some very dangerous individuals out there. We need to be very careful. But at the same time, it's easy to do the same thing with people in the church, or our neighbors, or our community, or politicians, or athletes, or movie stars, until we know the story. It's important that we don't judge. So here is Tychicus, and Paul calls him three things, verses 21 through 22. He says, this is Tychicus, and I'm sending him to you to let you know how we're doing. And he calls him, first of all, a beloved brother. A beloved brother. Tychicus was a beloved brother. He was one who loved. I think one of the best things that we can do to someone that we don't understand is to just begin to love them. Just begin to love them. Love is a powerful force, is it not? And you can express that love in a number of ways. All right? And I think we do people an injustice when we say, I'll never love that person. I'll never love that person. I told a story years ago about a story I heard about someone who had heard about the meanest man in town. And it wasn't Battleground. Someone found the meanest man in town. It was some little town in the Midwest, and everybody knew that was the meanest man in town. And you know what? They were right. He was a mean guy. And a pastor in that town decided they were going to start loving the meanest man in town. And it took them years to break through the veneer. But when they did, they won the meanest man in town to Jesus. And he started the church and changed his life. And he got a name change. They started calling him the nicest guy in town. How many know that's what the gospel can do? Amen? That's what the gospel can do. A beloved brother, a brother who loves. There's something about someone who will love you in spite of your faults and not make a rash decision on who you are at just one glance. You've got to be around them for a while. You've got to hear the whole story. And we do an injustice if we just make a judgment based on one thing. Hear the whole story. Pull back some layers. And what you will find in the majority of cases is there is someone that really what they need is someone to love them. Someone to just love them and show them kindness and to try to help them know, if they don't know Christ, to know Jesus Christ. That's the responsibility of every believer, right? In that response, every one of us should be Tychicus. We should be a beloved brother. And then he calls him, secondly, in verse 21, a faithful minister. He calls him a faithful minister, one who ministers, meaning a servant. But the key word there is he was faithful. He was faithful, this Tychicus was. He was a faithful man. He stuck with it. And you know, we need to stick with people. We need to stick with people. You say, well, they blew it. They made a mistake. Well, haven't you? Hello? Or is it just those first service people that do that? We need to be faithful to people. We need to be faithful. We know this. We need to be faithful to our wives and our husbands. Amen. Faithful to them. We need to be faithful to our children, our grandchildren. But we also need to be faithful to our friends. Be faithful friends. We need to be faithful to our neighbors. And be faithful because our neighbors would like them to be faithful to us. Cheryl and I live in this small little area, and there's three houses by us. And through the years, we bought this or started buying this little place. We're still buying it 38 years ago. And we've had different neighbors, but this neighborhood, we don't socialize every week or anything like that, but our neighbors are faithful. We got a call the other day or a text from one of them and said, there's a strange car in your driveway. It happened to me by grandson. Ryan was coming over to mow my lawn. We said, it's okay. You know, he's okay. He's all right. And then there's other times when they'll text Cheryl and say, we're going to be gone, and can you be sure and watch for any strange cars in our driveway? And if you find one, beat the guy up and send him running. No, I'm kidding. They don't say that. But they're looking out for us. They're faithful neighbors. How many know we need to appreciate faithful neighbors? Amen. Even though sometimes our neighbors can be a pain, maybe they want to be by themselves and be left alone, but still we need to be faithful. Faithfulness to one another, to our families, to our community. And faithfulness is such an important mark. And I believe that Paul mentions it because when we look at the heart of Paul, we see a faithful man. What you cannot tell me, when you read all of the epistles that Paul wrote or attributed to him, when you look at his life through the book of Acts, you cannot tell me that was not a faithful man. Paul the apostle was a faithful apostle of Jesus Christ. Amen. If he was anything, he was faithful. They beat him up in virtually every town he went to. They beat him up. And guess what? He got cleaned up, patched the wounds, and went on to do it again, to preach the gospel, because he was faithful. They left him for dead one time. As a matter of fact, some commentators, by the structure of the Greek, feel as if Paul might have been killed in one of those cities, and God brought him back to life. And what did he do when he came out of that? He went back and he preached the gospel again. He was a faithful man. You pull back the veneer of Paul, maybe outside it was, you know, sharp and tough, but inside there was faithfulness pumping like blood through his veins. And I believe that's what God wants us all to be. And Tychicus was a faithful servant, and you and I need to be faithful. Praise God. Because there is one thing that we will hear when we get to heaven that makes us all shout for glory. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Not my good and wealthy. Not my good and good looking. Not my good and et cetera, but my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. And so by calling Tychicus a faithful minister, I believe we can see the heart of Paul. And then thirdly, in verse 22. Excuse me one second. I forgot to bring my water up. That happens when you preach in dry sermons. Thank you. In verse 22, I'm sending him to you for this purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your heart. Tychicus becomes a symbol, if you will, of a comforter. In the vein of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said in the book of John, that when the Holy Spirit came, he would do a number of things, but he would be a comforter. The word in Greek is paraklete. It means one called alongside to assist and help. It's very similar to a Hebrew word when God said, I will make Adam a helper. The word helper in the Hebrew is so similar to the Greek word paraklete. It means one called alongside to help. The wife made for Adam to come along and help him. We, in the vein of Tychicus, need to be people of comfort, that we will bring comfort to people. And I think when you pull back the layers and see the heart of Paul, you see a man who wanted to comfort people. He wanted to comfort people. Now, granted, sometimes he comforted them by making them uncomfortable. How many know sometimes sermons will do that, right? You know, pastors, teachers, we don't want to make you uncomfortable, but sometimes we preach a sermon that's uncomfortable so that it will bring you comfort. Kind of a oxymoron or whatever, maybe just moronic, I don't know. But anyway, that whole idea. Because nothing is more comforting than to know the Lord sees us and wants to correct some problems. How many know that if coming to church doesn't at least start to change us, why are we coming? Amen? Why are we coming? It's not just the sermon, it's the worship, it's the fellowship. We ought to be different because we come to church. Otherwise, we're just coming for the donuts. That's not what church ought to be about. Now, I love the donuts. God forbid we stop donut. But sometimes we have to be uncomfortable to be comforted. But for Tychicus, Paul says he's a comforter. And I think you and I have a great responsibility to bring comfort to people. And one thing we can't do is when we judge someone so quickly, we don't really see their heart of hearts. But when you begin to see down deep inside what the heart is, a real picture of their heart, you can see some areas where they need some comfort. Now, we may not have the solutions to people's problems. Frankly, as a pastor, if I could put a percentage on it, I would say 99% of the time that someone has come to me for help, it is not anything that I can do physically, you know, tangibly to help them. But what I can do is comfort them. What I can do is comfort them. But comfort goes a long way, doesn't it? I can comfort them. And so don't get the idea that you have to help. If someone comes to you for help and strength, don't get the idea, well, I got to figure out what to tell them. No, just comfort them. And sometimes just being by them. Now, I know all of you just read the book of Job last week, right? When you read the book of Job, notice when his comforters, and I know that we kid them about them being comforters, but notice what they did with Job before they ever spoke a word, and I forget exactly how long it was. They came and they sat beside him. They sat beside him in the desert and didn't say a word for, what was it, a week or something like that? They didn't say a word. And you say, well, how were they of a help to Job? They were a help because they were there. How many know sometimes we can help people just by being there? Just sitting there, not saying a word. Now, some have jokingly said when they opened their mouths, that's when the comfort stopped. But the truth of the matter is sometimes people just need to know we're there. Just need to know they're there. How many times have I held my beloved in my arms, wishing to God I could take away the situation, the pain that she is in sometimes. And all I can do is just hold her and just pray. But just being there, she's told me before how important that is, just being there. Just being there. Tychicus is coming to you because I want him to bring comfort to your heart. I want him to comfort you. What a responsibility it is for all of us who walk with Christ, when called on to be a comforter, that we do as the Holy Spirit does, that we come alongside to help, to just comfort someone and bring them the comfort that they need. This very wording, I won't look it up now, but if you want to read it later, it's in Colossians chapter 4. You can read virtually the same request of the Colossians in verses 19 through, Colossians 4, 2 through 18. It's virtually a repetition of what he wrote here. Finally, as we're pulling away the layers to see the real heart of Paul, I think verses 23 and 24 really is the capstone. What was Paul's heart? He was a man who knew it was important to be armored with the armor of God. He was a man who was passionate about prayer. He was a man who was beloved, loved people. He was faithful. Paul comforted others, but I think these four words in verses 23 and 24 really show us his heart. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Four words stand out in that passage. Number one, peace. Peace to the brethren. What was Paul's heart? He was a man who wanted people to be at peace. He was a man who wanted the Ephesians to know the peace of God that passes all understanding. He was a man who knew what it was to be at peace with God, because on that road to Damascus, he went from being a man in torment to a man who found peace. And from that moment on, he had the peace of God. And he wanted that for everybody else. He wanted that for everybody else, to be a man of peace and for others to know that peace as well. Second word is love. Peace to the brethren and love from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at Paul's heart, you see a man who loved people, who loved God and wanted other people to experience that love. There's something powerful about loving someone, as we've already said. Peace and love. Peace and love. Third word is faith. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was passionate about faith. As a matter of fact, some of the finest words we find anywhere in all of literature can be found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. They were written by Paul the Apostle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, these three things abide: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. And on. Some of the most beautiful words you find in all of literature were written by Paul the Apostle because he had a heart of love. Because he knew that God is love. Amen? Challenges us all to have faith that God can do anything. Peace, love, faith, to believe that God can do anything. And fourthly, the word grace. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace. I think if anything our nation needs today is we need a baptism of grace. We need a baptism of grace. From the halls of Congress to the theaters of New York to the studios in Hollywood to the epicenters of this society all along the West Coast and all through the middle of our nation, we need people to have a baptism of grace. We would have a better country because of it. Amen? Grace. But it's got to start somewhere. So why can't it start with us? Be people of grace who are not so quick to judge someone's heart by just what we see, but to get to time to get to know them, to begin to love them, begin to see what they've gone through, to hear their story, and to pray that God would bring peace and love and faith and grace. This is Paul's heart. That's what Paul saw. Most of you would not know the person I'm going to speak about right now. They're gone now from us. They're no longer with us. But when they first came, people had a hard time. Because you talk about a rough exterior. It was rough. Nobody wanted to be around them. They were pretty negative. They started coming to church. Nobody knew their story. Nobody took the time. And, you know, I can't say that I don't want to say that. I think maybe others should have sooner, but they didn't. Frankly, part of the responsibility is on that person too, but it was hard. And finally, I believe Cheryl said, I'm going to find their story. And she began to love them. She began to love them. Just every service began to love them. See, Cheryl has this wonderful attitude that you can love away a lot of dirt and garbage if you just love somebody. And sweetheart, nobody does it better than you in loving people, in my opinion. I appreciate my pastor's wife. Amen. How about you? Amen. Amen. Now, she'll whip me to shape at home, but she'll love all of you. No, I'm kidding. So Cheryl began to love him and just love him and just love him. And finally, one day, she found out the story. Sitting in an insurance office in a town between, I won't say the town, between Washougal and Bingen. With her spouse and her new baby, a drunk driver came through the wall and killed her husband and baby. And it crushed her. And she couldn't understand why God would allow that to happen. She wrestled and wrestled. So she put up the hard exterior. She didn't want to get hurt anymore. But after time, many of you begin to love her and cherish her. And though she's no longer with us, she came to be one of the most loving people we have ever known. Because we got to the heart of the matter. I'll never forget what he said to me probably weeks before he fell from a scaffold at Riviera Motors and fell to his death. Masons would remember him. He was one of those tough ones. But people wouldn't let him stay tough. They loved him into the fold. And as he left church that morning, he said to my wife, "This is where I've learned to love again. This is where I've learned to love again." And then the Lord took him home. It makes a difference when you really see the heart of somebody. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus, for the Apostle Paul and his words, and Tychicus and his faithfulness and his comfort and his love. Thank you for us getting a glimpse into the Apostle Paul's heart. And what we see there is really the heart that I think God would have all of us have. A heart of peace. A heart of love. A heart of faith. And a heart of grace. We want that kind of heart, Lord. We want that kind of heart. We want hearts that are at peace. Please bring peace to every heart that is here today. We want hearts of love. Help us to love beyond what we are capable of and love people with God's love. Father, give us faith, hearts of faith. Faith to believe that God can do anything. And faith to trust Him when He does anything but according to His way and His time and His plan. And give us hearts of grace to be more willing to forgive than we are to judge. Give us hearts of grace not to determine our course of action by a simple phrase or an expression or an action, but to go the extra mile. Make us people of grace. Make us a nation of grace. Let our politicians know grace. Our superstars know grace. From sea to shining sea, let this nation be baptized with grace. Let our hearts be moved by the things that move the heart of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and for giving us a glimpse of his heart today. And may we aspire to have the same kind of heart. And so, Lord, finally, to go back to what Sharina said earlier, that great exhortation, if there is a broken heart here today, if there is a wounded heart here today, let healing come in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Lord, if we have judged rashly and quickly. Give us another chance to show love instead of judgment. Lord, thank you for the healing ministry of Jesus to touch every heart here today. And renew a right spirit within us. As Tychicus did, let us be someone who will be faithful and be loving and bring comfort to everyone we meet. We give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you thank the Lord for His word today? Praise God. Thank the Lord for His word. Amen. 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 May God go with you. You're dismissed. If you need special prayer, I'll be here. I'd love to pray with you about anything you have to pray about. Otherwise, have a great day, and we'll see you next Sunday in God's house. Thank you for coming this morning.